Death Comes Staccato by Gillian Slovo. Dramatized in 5 parts for radio by Jill Brook. With Samantha Bond as Kate and Sandra James Young as Carmen. Episode 4. Elmore James, who was injured in the fire at Maitley's, tells Carmen and Kate that the factory did not comply with fire regulations. Trevor Plasted, the solicitor of another of Kate's clients, phones to say that Marion Weatherby has been burgled and her daughter Alicia has run away.
When did Alicia go?
This afternoon, Miss Bear, after you and I left the flat. Apparently Alicia became rather distraught. Words were exchanged and she rushed out. Her mother expected her to return when she calmed down, but when Marion discovered the burglary, she went into Alicia's room and she wasn't there.
Why don't you try Alicia's friends, Mr. Plasted? I've no idea where she is.
We don't know where to start. We would be immensely grateful if we could discuss it with you.
On one condition.
Name it.
This time, if I'm hired, I stay hired. The job's over when I say so.
Agreed. Will you meet me at the Weatherbys?
I'm on my way.
Good morning, miss.
You work all hours, Fred.
I'm on a late shift, as a favour to the night doorman. I shouldn't be here, I should be in bed.
I know how you feel.
Hey, you tell the Weatherbys I didn't see any burglar. I swear I didn't see anybody. You tell them.
After your blood, are they?
I was here all the time.
Right.
You tell them.
Okay, let go of my arm so I can go and tell them.
Don't toy with me. No!
Now, let's see what you've got to be worried about.
You can't go in my cubicle. It's private.
Were you scared of someone finding these?
You wouldn't.
Don't worry. It's not my job to lose you yours. Just don't try pushing me around.
How did you know about the gin?
The smell of peppermints. Every time I came to see the Weatherbys. Oh, tell them I'm on my way up, would you?
We're extremely grateful to you, Miss Bear.
Good. Got a new contract?
I trust this will suffice.
This seems fine, Mr. Plasted.
Mrs. Weatherby is in the drawing room. Miss Bear is here, Marion.
Oh, thank you for coming at this ungodly hour. You must find our behaviour very difficult to understand. I've had quite a shock.
What happened?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know, wouldn't we all?
I mean what happened last night. Where do you think Alicia has gone?
Oh, my darling, darling daughter. You're thinking that I'm not a very good mother. Well, perhaps you're right. But it's not all me. Oh, no, Alicia played her part and Alicia plays to perfection. Have you heard?
I'm calling your doctor, Marion.
Sit down, Trevor. Don't make a fool of yourself. I went out last night and got back at midnight.
Was Alicia here?
I have no idea. I was exhausted and went straight to bed. I managed to get to sleep, but was awakened again at 3.
By a noise?
I don't know. I got up and came in here to pour myself a drink. Well, even then, I might not have noticed anything if it hadn't been for the draught. I've never been able to stand draught.
So?
I went to find the source.
Of the draught? Mm.
The front door was open, wide open. Well, everything seemed to be in place, so I wasn't unduly worried. After all, we pay our doorman to keep an eye on the building. I assumed that once again Alicia had been careless.
It could have been the maid.
Oh, no. No, Eva would never do that. I went to speak to Alicia, but she wasn't in her room. I thought she must have come in earlier and then gone out again. It was only when I was pouring myself a nightcap that I saw that it was missing.
What was?
The vase.
A Ming Dynasty vase that usually stood on the mantelpiece. An item of considerable value.
Anything else?
No.
Why don't you call the police?
I couldn't possibly do that, don't you understand?
Not exactly.
This was no ordinary robbery. Alicia took the vase.
Why would she do
that? For revenge. To get at me. She knew I didn't like her to handle it, and who else could have done it? The doorman swears that only residents entered the building. The apartment wasn't broken into. Alicia got back in by using her key.
Which she'd lost the night James Morgan was murdered. The maid had to let us in when I brought Alicia back here.
Oh, she's always mislaying her keys, only to find them in her bag. And anyway, there are spares in the kitchen. She could have used those.
Why don't we check? To see if they're gone.
Oh, of course. Follow me. I'll show you the kitchen. Oh, Eva, you still are. I shan't be needing you tonight. Why don't you go to bed?
Very well, Mrs. Wetherby. Good night, Miss Bear.
Good night, Eva.
Here we are. The kitchen's through here. The keys are kept in this drawer under the sink.
How many sets did you have there?
Two. I checked them in the other day. One set of keys.
Hadn't you better empty out the drawer to make sure?
Oh, the other set is gone. Oh, that settles that. Alicia must have taken it. Let's go back to the drawing room and make ourselves more comfortable. I've never really liked this kitchen. I don't know why. Too clinical, perhaps. Well, Trevor, I was right. We only found one set of keys.
Oh, good.
Would either of you care to join me in a brandy?
No, not for me, thank you, Marion.
I think I'll have one.
Are you sure, Trevor?
Oh, very well, then, if you insist.
Oh, Miss Bear.
What do you want from me, Mrs. Wetherby?
Find Alicia. Bring her back.
Any idea where she went?
I never interfered in her private life. I always find it rather tedious, to be honest. Oh, this Napoleon brand is excellent, Trump.
Yes, I thought you'd appreciate it.
Time I was going, I think. Sorry I can't finish my drink. Rather too much for me.
Oh!
Don't get up. I'll see myself out. What are you doing lurking behind a hedge at 5 a.m? You were told to go to bed.
I've been waiting for you, but I was beginning to think you'd never leave the flat.
Brandy, too good to miss.
I know. I've tasted it.
Let me walk you to your car. I freeze if I have to stand here much longer.
Okay, it's just along there before the traffic lights.
Is Marion shouting Blue Mink murder?
In a way. But she seems more concerned to have Alicia back.
But don't you believe it?
Huh?
Oh, she does want Alicia back. No, what I mean is, don't believe the mink story.
Why not?
I heard Marion get up this morning. I was in the kitchen studying for my interpreter's test.
Chinese?
Yeah. Anyway, I heard Marion. She often prowls about the place when she can't sleep, so I didn't take any notice until I heard a crash. I went to investigate, making sure she didn't see me. I didn't want her to think I was spying on her late night drinking parts.
I get the picture.
Except this wasn't one of them. When I looked in the drawing room, I saw that she'd broken an ashtray, but she ignored it. She was standing by her bureau, the lid was open, and she was pulling papers out of it, searching for something. She was crying. Eventually, she calmed down, stuffed the papers back, and shut the desk. Then she went to the phone and called the ghoul.
Plastid.
That's the one. Always hanging around her with his tongue hanging out. I could have told him not to bother. She's not interested in him.
What did she say?
She told him to get over right away. She said her mink vase had gone missing and she was afraid Alicia had taken it.
And so?
So nothing. Unless you think that there's something fishy in the fact that the mink was in its usual place and that I watched her as she went up to it, took it down off the mantelpiece and hid it. It's under the lid of the grand piano.
Oh.
Quite right, Madam Detective. And now, I'm off to bed.
Thanks.
As dawn broke, I sat at my window and watched East London waking up to another cold day of struggle. My mind kept flitting from the corpse of James Morgan to the note left by Pete, from the self-satisfied face of Gordon Jarvis to the wreck of Elmore's body, and from Alicia's frantic performances to her mother's icy stare. I might have continued in this vein if Carmen hadn't turned up. Under her arm, she carried some bags of croissant and pain au chocolat. While she put the coffee on, I told her about my nocturnal visit.
Ooh, I warned you those people were tricky.
Oh, no. Anyway, what brought you here so early?
Your engagements. You've got a busy day ahead with two funerals to attend. I thought you might want company.
Pete's funeral as well as Morgan's?
Afraid so. His is first.
They're burying him indecently fast.
Cremating.
And what about the post-mortem?
It's done. I reckon we can pay a visit to the doctor between cremation one and funeral two.
Yuck.
Doubled.
Pete Archie had behaved as if he'd never had a chance. And the funeral service they laid on for him reflected this. A few friends occupied the back row, but Alicia was not among them. As soon as the ceremony was over, I made the beeline for some of the young people I'd seen at Alicia's concerts. But they all denied knowing her whereabouts. Nevertheless, I asked them to tell her I only wanted to help. Carmen pointed out one of the wreaths, a delicate collection of roses intertwined to make a heart shape.
What does the card say?
To Pete, in death shall we be united, eh?
We better find her quick.
That's for sure. Did you learn anything from those kids?
About Alicia?
No. Arrogant lot. I'm sure they know where she is, though.
Did you talk to that one?
Which what? Where?
Over there, look. He's coming this way. Seedy-looking lad.
Oh, yes. More Mr. Hyde than Dr. Jekyll, I'd say.
Slow down a bit. I think he wants to talk.
You're the one that's been asking questions?
Yes.
You anything to do with the police?
Nothing at all.
Why are you interested in Pete's death?
I have my reasons. Do you want to tell me something?
What's it worth?
Not much.
Tenner?
All right. Here you are, 2 fivers.
Pete never stuffed himself.
How do you know?
Because his gear was with him, and there was some skag in it, a lot.
Why does that mean he didn't kill himself?
Well, it stands to reason. If he was going to off himself, he would have taken the lot. He'd just scored. He had a lot of stuff on him. Why leave it behind?
Where did you get your information from?
I can't tell you.
Not even for another fiver?
I'll give it here.
Ah, not so fast. First the info, then the money. How do you know that Pete had more heroin on him?
Well, he told me. I tried to score off him that morning and he didn't have nothing. He was waiting for his man. He told me to come back later.
Well, maybe his dealer didn't turn up.
Oh, he did. I was so desperate I waited outside his place. I saw the man go in and come out.
And then?
Well, I waited for Pete to get his own thing together, then I went upstairs.
And?
I couldn't get in. The door was locked.
You saw him dead. And you took the dope.
Oh, I never did. I was scared. I got out of there. I ran away. I never took nothing.
Who was his dealer? Who was it? Oh, all right, that'll do. Take your money.
If there was anything I could have done to save Pete, I would have. But he was past saving.
But you can help now. Tell me who his dealer was.
I don't know his name. I only saw him pass by quickly. He was a private contact of Pete's. A big dealer who liked to operate without a middleman. Pete said he was a weirdo who got his kicks from dealing. From another world, he said.
Well, what did he mean?
I don't know. Pete talks in riddles sometimes. Look, I've got to go now.
Do you believe him?
Some of it. But even if what he says is true, that doesn't mean Pete was murdered. He could have left some dope. He might not have taken it all.
Time to pay a visit to my friend the doctor, I think.
Yeah. Good idea. But before we do, I better try to get hold of Toby Stafford. Make more of an effort to find Alicia.
Hello.
Toby.
Kate. How charming.
I need your help.
For you, anything.
I've got to find Alicia. Alicia Weatherby.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Oh, how utterly disappointing. I thought it was for my body that you phoned.
It's important.
So I gather.
Will you help?
Why am I so obliging?
That means yes?
If you'll meet me later.
All right. Where do you suggest?
My place at 8, 46 Chalcot Grove. You know Primrose Hill?
I'll find it.
Kate, this is Dr. Charles Kirby. Hello.
Hello, Kate. Carmen told me about you. Take a seat, if you can find one.
Oh, come on, Charles. Your antisocial habits are getting beyond a joke. This is more of a cupboard than an office.
Well, it's better than the type of company I have to put up with in the doctor's common room. 30-year-old crawlers aiming to ooze their way into consultancies.
How long have you two known each other?
Oh, we're old friends. We met at a medical convention. Carmen and her cronies intervened during a talk on sickle cell anemia.
Disrupted, you mean?
Well, there was that element. I found it most instructive. Now, what can I do for you? I'm sorry to hurry, but I'm a bit pressed for time.
Did you do the post-mortem on Pete Archie?
No, but after you phoned, I glanced at the report.
And?
Well, he died of a drug overdose. But the reason his body stopped functioning was that he inhaled his own vomit and asphyxiated.
Is that usual?
Well...
Come on, Charles. Take a risk. Give us your honest opinion.
Okay, here goes. You see, heroin addicts don't usually die from an overdose of the pure drug. But the heroin available for sale is nowhere near pure. And it's cut with all kinds of substances. Sugar, flour, talcum powder. And they can get stuck in the veins, causing temporary hiccups, hemorrhages, and eventual death. Your friend Pete died like that. That fact is not out of the ordinary.
So what worries you?
Well, it's just a feeling.
Yes?
Perhaps I wouldn't have been so hasty with the death certificate if I'd been in charge. You see, Pete's blood was contaminated by a very unusual additive, normally only available on prescription. I can't imagine that your average street dealer would be cutting his heroin with it.
But your colleague disagrees.
Unfortunately, heroin deaths have reached epidemic proportions. One can become careless about post-mortems.
Who would have had access to this contaminant?
Very few people in this country. But in other places, with fewer controls, you could probably buy it over the counter. I can't be sure without further investigation. Ah, I'm wanted. Mustache.
Thanks.
Any time, for a friend of Carmen's. Look, you can find your own way out.
Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye. Thanks, bye. Charles.
You know what this means, Carmen? Pete was murdered.
But then, you always knew that. Come on, or we won't make James Morgan's funeral in time. It's a long way to Hertfordshire.
Almighty God, of his great mercy, to take unto himself the soul of our dear brother here departed, we therefore commit his body to the ground. Earth to earth.
See that old woman standing by the grave? I think she must be Jane's mother. She looks very frail.
Still handsome, though. She must have been a rare beauty in her day.
Well, well, well. Look who's there.
Where?
Over to the right. It's Marion Weatherby arguing with some man.
Oh, him. I noticed him coming out of church. He doesn't seem to fit in somehow. Too tanned and weather-beaten to be living in England.
This is a case for super sleuth. Off you go and talk to Marion. She's on her own now. See if you can find out who he is. I'll meet you at the gates.
Okay.
Mrs. Weatherby.
Ah, Miss Bear. Found Alicia?
No. What brings you here, Mrs. Weatherby?
Paying my respects. After all, James Morgan was very good to offer to help Alicia. And we are implicated in his death.
That's one way of putting it.
Put it any way you want. Just find my daughter. Fast.
Try helping me then.
I've told you all I know. What could I possibly be concealing?
Looked in the piano recently?
How dare you search my flat? Who asked you to pry?
Damn it.
Norman, I hereby give up all claim to super sleuth status. I have just found out nothing with a capital N.
Lucky I'm with you then.
Yeah?
Guess who the man is who was talking to Marianne?
I haven't got a clue.
Oh, you're no fun.
Oh, come on, Carmen.
Okay, I'll tell you. And don't say it wasn't worth waiting for. That man was once James Morgan's best friend.
So?
Well, that's not all he is. He is also Marion Weatherby's ex-husband, the elusive Richard Weatherby.
Oh.
What did I tell you?
It was worth waiting for. I have no idea what it means, but it was sure worth waiting for.
Let's go, before everybody has the same idea and we get caught in a traffic jam all the way to London.
That man in the BMW goes beyond the call of duty.
Who is it?
Trevor Plastid. Weatherby solicitor. Come chauffeur, looks like.
Oh, it's cold.
Let's get into the car. I'll drive. What did you mean Richard Weatherby was once Morgan's best friend?
Couldn't get that out of my informant, but they hadn't been seen together for years. My source didn't even know that Richard was still around.
Who was your source?
Morgan's mother, the old woman by the graveside. Nobody else seemed to want to talk to her. Probably felt too embarrassed at her grief.
You're quite a woman, Carmen.
Keep your eyes on the road. I want to get back to town all in one piece. I've got to see Tommy Parsons' widow.
Well, that reminds me. I better let Sam know where I'm going. Keep your eyes peeled for a phone box.
I wondered where you were. I even went over to your flat in case you'd slept the whole day and left your answer phone on.
It's been a day of death, Sam. Well, the final results of it. I'll tell you later.
You're not coming home.
I got a date with my teenage admirer.
Oh.
You're not jealous, are you?
Should I be?
No. This is business.
Well, then I hope it goes well. By the way, your stock exchange friend, Jonathan Blenter, has been trying to get hold of you.
Did he say anything special?
Only that he's found one of Gordon Jarvis's clients who wouldn't mind putting the boot in.
Oh.
This client lost a lot of money over the fire while Jarvis was waiting for the insurance to turn up. So, if there's any scandal, he would like first bid on suing.
Sounds good. Mm. Might be a way of getting Jarvis without dragging Elmore into it. Carmen is going to see Sarah Parsons, whose husband died in the fire. Why am I surprised to find how many capitalists have so few scruples?
I don't know, darling. Come home and we can explore the question.
Later.
Well, I'll keep the bed warm for you. Bye now.
Bye. After I dropped Carmen off at the bus stop, I drove to Toby Stafford's without really concentrating on where I was going, and passed the house altogether. I drove into a side street and parked before walking the 100 yards back. I was surprised when I reached Toby's flat. Even the location and the Maserati parked outside didn't alert me properly, because I never associated such a degree of wealth with the under-25s. Well, you live and learn.
Kate, how nice. Come in and let me take your coat.
Thank you.
Quite a flat. Do you work for a living?
Would you like me to? Go into the sitting room and make yourself comfortable. I'll be with you in a second. Good champagne's a drink to be enjoyed in private. Don't you agree? Here's to success.
Success? Whose?
Yours? Mine? Anybody?
To crime. It pays the rent.
I thought you might be hungry, so I fixed us something simple. You do like caviar, I hope. It is beluga.
Oh. And cold salmon. Wild and Scottish, I presume.
Naturally.
That sorbet had a very subtle flavor. What was it?
Passion fruit.
I should have guessed.
Coffee?
No, thanks.
Kate.
Toby.
Do you have to put me off my stride?
Merely trying to save your energy.
Don't you feel tempted to break the rules? I'm attracted to you because of our differences. I'm not offering long-term commitment. Just bliss.
Alicia Weatherby.
You are incorrigible.
I know. I have tried to warn you. Do you know where she is?
I'm afraid not. I don't keep tabs on her anymore.
Meaning that you used to?
We had a thing. It didn't last long. She bored me. Oh, she was too prim. Not free in herself, if you know what I mean.
I can guess.
What's up? Do you disapprove of what I'm saying?
Should I?
Are you some kind of feminist?
Yes, without the kind of.
I might have known. But I do so like a challenge.
Is that what's going on now? A battle?
Oh, it takes two, you know.
Hey, Toby, you don't have to make a conquest of every woman you like.
And what makes you assume I like you?
Oh, come on, Toby.
Oh, is that an invitation?
Forget it.
You know, your type stick together. You girls think you can walk all over men.
Oh.
Well, lady, let me tell you one thing. Your friend Alicia has really got problems. Flirt wasn't in it. But get her in the bedroom, and she changed into a 12-year-old. Now, it might turn some chaps on, but I'm not into paedophilia.
Right, that's it. I'm leaving. Where's my car?
Oh, you're not serious. Oh, look, let's not park like this. I didn't mean to upset you.
Toby, grow up.
The cold hit me as I stepped outside. It was a dark night. And the roads were deserted as I walked back to my car. It was only when I was a stone's throw from it that I sensed something amiss. Somebody was following me. I reached into my bag and took out my keys. I had my key in the lock when I was grabbed from behind.
Interfering bitch. When I'm finished with you, you'll wish you kept out of other people's business. Ah! Bite, would you?
Ow!
Ow! Maitley sends its compliments.
In Death Comes Staccato by Gillian Slovo, dramatized for radio by Jill Brook, Samantha Bond played Kate, and Sandra James Young, Carmen. Marion Weatherby, Jill Graham, and Trevor Plastid, Keith Drinkle. David Holt played Sam, Sonny Ormond, Eva and the Vicar, Mark Straker, Toby, David Thorpe, Pete's friend, Charles and the Thug, and Barry J. Gordon, the Doorman. The music was composed by Anthea Gomez and played by Anthea Gomez and Tim New. The play was directed by Sue Wilson.